All right, Ben Tomasetti.
George Murray.
What's up?
Well, we're back for episode 2 of formerly the Big Bubble podcast.
We're no longer called the Big Bubble.
We're mulling a name change.
It's a new year.
We're thinking about calling it the Nth Screen. So movie theaters were the first screen. Your television was the second screen. Your PC was the third screen. Your mobile phone was the fourth screen.
Your second mobile phone is the fifth screen.
Your tablet computer is the sixth screen. Your washing machine, now that it's data connected, is the seventh screen.
Your car, your refrigerator, your faucets.
Your energy management system.
Your speakers.
Your heater.
Your watch.
So we're at the nth screen.
This is the nth screen. Podcast.
An exploration of all things, products, and services that have screens.
It is. It's the nth screen, the podcast where we talk about products and services and interaction design and, in general, the theme of ubiquitous computing. We are your hosts. I'm George Murray from PunchCut. And
my name is Ben Tomasetti. I work for OpenPeak.
Cue the music.
All right, and we're back.
All right, so now it's 2011.
It's a brand new year.
It's a brand new CES, too.
Consumer Electronics Show is occurring as we speak in Las Vegas.
A lot of stuff coming out.
It's a lot of very interesting and amazing stuff.
By interesting, a lot of interesting and amazing stuff, you mostly are talking about Motorola's Atrix, right?
The Motorola Atrix is sort of a special kind of wonderful. The Atrix is a mobile phone with a dual-core processor, onboard DDR2 RAM, so it's essentially got computer hardware from about 3 years ago shoved inside a mobile form factor.
The Atrix has the hardware that would cost maybe, let's see, 2000, no, maybe 98, a computer with a gig of RAM and a gigahertz processor might cost $4,000 to $5,000.
Yeah.
And that would come with maybe
like a 30 gig hard drive if you're lucky.
And a CD burner if you really wanted to spring.
And now it fits in your pocket.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. But that's not the best part. The Atrix has the ability to connect it into a dock with an HDMI out port, which will then connect to a full keyboard, a monitor, a mouse, and it has a virtualized desktop environment called WebTop, which will not only let you continue to receive phone calls, send SMS messages, but also gives you a full web browser experience with Firefox, media player,
yeah.
Game center.
Does your dishes. Makes your bed.
Yeah. They have a partnership with a company called Citrix, which does GoToMeeting,
GoToMyPC. I don't know if they have a partnership, but
They have their software.
There's some pretty cool, like, you can connect to a virtualized machine.
On a server. So essentially your phone is acting as a window onto a full-fledged PC that lives somewhere in a data center in California.
Yeah.
So you have a full Windows environment. So from your phone, basically, you can make and edit PowerPoint. You can use Outlook.
And the Atrix is cool because now when we say things like from your phone, it's not going to mean your phone's screen. It's going to mean it could mean from your monitor or from your laptop now.
Now that your phone can act as a virtualized computer, there's no real need even really to have a computer. You can just have a phone with a data plan.
I think I need a computer still. How am I going to, can it run World of Warcraft?
Well, maybe not yet.
I did just install Apple Mac, the App Store, so.
Right, you need the App Store.
I need that. I definitely need that.
So, I mean, whether you need the App Store or not, point being, if I'll use a web browser and you can hook your phone up to a massive monitor, then you don't really need traditional computer now that you can run full Firefox from your phone on 18, 24-inch monitor and it looks native, full flash support. The other thing the Atrix has is it comes with a laptop side piece.
I don't think it comes with that.
Well, okay.
I think you have to purchase it on the side.
Okay, battery sold separately, right?
Yeah.
But
keyboard and monitor.
It has the potential to interface with a laptop-ish device.
Hopefully that thing costs not a lot of money, because if the laptop costs more than a normal laptop,
no one will buy it.
Yeah, it needs to cost.
It needs
like,
to be priced appropriately.
It needs to be priced like.
But
like
the
a,
thing is,
like a, an
I mean,
accessory.
We haven't seen it yet, but my guess is, you know, the phone is the storage, so it doesn't have a hard drive. The phone is the processor and the RAM, so it doesn't have those components.
Yeah.
So it's essentially a keyboard and a screen.
But it still looks like a laptop. So if they can, if people look at that thing and they're like, "That's a laptop," then they're like, "Well, I'm going to spend laptop money on it."
Right. And I mean, you know, netbooks cost, what, $250 right now? $300?
Yeah.
So if that's their competitor,
even
if they sold it for $200, it's still undercutting netbook prices.
Yeah, and hopefully that dock costs like $50. I mean, it shouldn't cost...
To connect it to your monitor?
Yeah,
the
dock.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anyways, so what is this episode about?
So we're in 2011, brand new year, fresh start.
New decade.
Right, all of that. We thought we'd make a few minor predictions for the next 12 months.
I'm not ready to make a prediction.
Well, we can scout some trends.
I already made predictions last year.
And how'd they work out?
Every one of them is correct.
So that's why you don't want to make one this year? You don't want to ruin your perfect
I've got trend. A great, yeah. Not ready to cash in yet.
Well, how about this? We'll make a pact. If we're still around in a year, which we will be, then we'll revisit our predictions and see how we did.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
Yeah.
So here it is. 2011 with the newly named Nth Screen podcast. All right, please predict. Predict away.
Okay. Prediction number one. As operating systems and hardware platforms increase from the standard two main Windows OS X with one minor, Linux and all its flavors, into 3, 4, 5, including Android, Chrome OS.
Yeah, I think
Blackberries.
What we're seeing
Quick.
Is like, yeah.
As that happens, the role of the web browser will be greatly increased. So I think what we're going to see personally in 2011 is a lot of state saving on browsers, even more so than it is now, right? Like, send my tab to my phone, right? I think it's going to be bigger than that.
Yeah, like Google's Chrome to phone plugin.
That was
pretty cool.
I think that's just like touching the tip of what we're going to see in browsers.
You think Chrome to phone functionality will become used in 2011? Like, do you think that that's actually going to be a use case? Like, you know, we're both like consultants in interaction design.
Right.
Clients come to us and they say, "We want our software to be able to do this. Send your," and this would be where Chrome to phone is like an example.
Right.
They could say, 2011, my product is going to send your current state to your computer and vice versa. Is that going to happen in 2011?
I think yes, definitely. I think what we're going to see before we see innovations in browsers, though, with like Chrome to phone and state saving, user profiles, we're going to start seeing that more in the web app domain. So you're going to be able to save your Pandora state from your PC, pick it back up on your commute, on your phone.
Well, let's get back to your original prediction, which is that the hardware manufacturers are going to be creating their own operating systems, and in general, the monopolies of hardware and operating systems are kind of breaking up, right? You've got a lot of new operating systems. Even Motorola is doing their web top thing, and
right. So just a brief recap. You know, there's still OS X. There's still Windows. Ubuntu has their Netbook Edition, which came out, you know, while ago.
Yeah.
Which they're going to use on tablets. BlackBerry bought Quick. They bought Tat, the Astonishing Tribe. They're going to have a presumably pretty amazing tablet OS on the playbook. There's a lot of people tweaking Android, Motorola, HTC, not least among them. And then we have HP, which basically bought Palm for WebOS, their most valuable property. Now HP is pushing WebOS to their printers, their servers. HP is basically dropping Windows from everything but PCs.
So you're saying 2011, there's going to be more operating systems?
Right. In 2011, there will be more operating systems. There's going to be some shakeout in what's around and what gets used. We saw Palm struggle with WebOS the first time. So I think HP has their challenge ahead of them. But, you know, they have significant market cap, largest hardware manufacturer in the world. If anyone can do it, they can do it. Another thing we're going to see, though, with this proliferation of OSs is that particular OSs will be used by specialists. Engineers might still need Windows to run their CAD software. Designers might still use OS X for Photoshop, InDesign, Omnigraphle.
All right.
Outside of specialist applications, more generalist users, it probably won't matter what OS they're running because they just need a good browser. Yeah. They need a good text editor.
So prediction number one from the nth screen is operating systems are going to become, there's going to be more and more operating systems. And basically, it's not going to matter so much anymore what operating system you're on. It's just as long as you're connected to the internet and things remain stateful between devices, everything's copacetic. But
you're good to go.
Yeah. But the new thing is that there's going to be new content monopolies, I think. While the manufacturers and operating systems kind of fragment a little bit, we're probably going to get a lot more standardization and I don't know.
Are you saying 2011 is the year people finally pay for content?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
I mean, we see, though, that people pay for particular
user-generated content. Well, I think that's an important distinction. Monopolized.
By whom? Who do you see as the monopolizers?
Facebook, Twitter, Google.
Right. And the reason for that is distribution channels. They own them, so they're where people choose to create. Or is it just ubiquity? People don't know that there are other options.
I don't know why.
You know?
I don't know why it is, but 2011 will be when that happens. I mean, prediction for 2011. Fragmented operating systems, more fragmenting happening in devices, less fragmenting and more solidification in what cloud services we use to store our user-generated content and all of our cloud content in general. I mean, more and more people are putting their stuff online, and I don't know if it's all going to go to one or two places, or if we're really capable of like understanding, you know, that I have my photos over here, my contacts over here, my people over here, you know, my work social network, my friend social network, my tweets, my status updates, blah, 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 blah. Anyways.
Which gets back to...
Seems like it's coming all together right now.
Totally. That actually ties in nicely with my idea of the... What you're going to need is just a really good web browser and really good web apps. And you're saying that it's not just really good web apps, but it's going to be a select few really good web apps.
Maybe. I don't know.
That people choose to use.
I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
My only prediction for 2011 really is just that there are going to be way more devices, and designing for them is going to be awesome.
The nth screen.
And that concludes our second episode of our podcast. You've been listening to The Nth Screen, a.k.a. The Big Bubble. That was the name last podcast, but I think The Nth Screen is going to stick around.
I think we like The Nth Screen.
Yeah. All right. Catch us next week. Music.